It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. I have to tell you, J. Will, along here with Max Kellerman and Harry Douglas, filling in for Keyshawn today. What a great evening and what a great day for me. As a guy that was on the Jumbotron in Citi Field for the opening pump-up ceremony last night.
Look, it's Curtis Granderson.
You can call me whatever you want, Max. Name calling doesn't affect me, doesn't faze me at all right now for my open. Getting a win last night against this snobbish Yankees fan, Max Kellerman, makes me feel so good, Harry, that this morning I decided to put on my honorary Mets jersey, come into work, and Max's face when he saw me, talking about Escobar, talking about Francisco Lindor, talking about Diaz down the stretch, talking about all the errors that the Yankees had. What a great day for me. Let's go, Mets. Let's go, Steve Cohen. And then Scherzer on the mound tonight. Oh, it is a good day to be a Mets fan, Max. Are you okay?
Yeah, whatever. What game? So all I remember is, Harry Douglas, is Aaron Judge with his 38th home run in the first inning. Anthony Rizzo with another shot. And then I went to sleep. Yeah. I don't know the rest.
Yeah.
No, I refuse to talk about
it. Oh, you don't want to talk about what happened after that?
No.
You want to talk about Marte getting a home run?
Marte started off. Then you had Francisco Lindor with a double.
Yep.
And then you had Alonso.
Yanks were
Alonso
snake.
Came out. Him in.
Yanks were snake bit last night. They had a weird throwing error from Josh Donaldson.
Listen.
They almost hit a grand slam to win it.
It's not about the Yankees. It's not about the Yankees.
It's always about the Yankees.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not about the Yankees right now.
As I was saying, J. Will, then Eduardo Escobar came up and hit that two-run shot.
Boom.
And then you had that error by Josh Donaldson. Oh, my God. Come on, Josh. Just throw the ball to first base. That's what you get paid to do.
Mm-hmm. And listen, the Mets have a very impressive closer. He's the second-best relief pitcher in New York City. That's very good. Very high standard to be the second-best closer in New York. Everyone's talking about Diaz, the best closer in New York, except that he has a higher ERA, a higher whip than Clay Holmes, who's the Yankees closer.
This is the pathetic thing you went through. You were trying to shift the conversation.
Who has a better closer?
Who's the better
Yankees
closer?
Or Mets? I said the Yankees.
Who's the better closer? Who's the better?
I just don't like the way people
take it on the chin.
I hate the L. I don't want to take it
on the chin.
You hold that L.
No,
damn.
I'm holding a W. That's right. Citi Field.
Let me tell you how bad. Let me tell you how bad it is.
People
have some
showed up.
Have some pity.
I was there.
On Yankees fans today. Have some sympathy.
Eddie.
Think about this.
Oh, yeah.
Think about this.
Oh, the championships.
Think about this for the Yankees.
Back in the 20s when we
won
the
Yankees
World Series.
Have the all-time wins record in a single season, 125. Because the regular season record is whatever. The Mariners have that. But the Yankees bounced them out of the World
Series.
And won the World Series.
You leave with that every
Yankee second. So 125, the Yankees won the World Series in 98. Greatest team of all time. And at a certain point this year, I thought that this Yankees team would be able to win 126 games. Do you realize? Not only is that probably not going to happen now, they barely have the best team in baseball now. Barely.
By the way, can I just tell you a moment for me?
What's that?
Watching the first inning. Even though Aaron Judge, you know, hit that. I mean, that thing.
38.
Deep.
Yeah.
Deep. The amount of the lack there. There were boos, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was softer.
Yeah, I mean, it's New York.
It was softer than other players that came up to the plate.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, ooh.
They want him.
Oh, boy.
If the Mets get Aaron Judge.
I'm not saying we're going to make moves for him and Juan Soto, but I'm saying just the fact that it lingers over
your
head.
If the Mets get Aaron Judge, I will petition Hal Steinbrenner to change his last name. Can't call yourself a Steinbrenner if Aaron Judge walks out the building and goes to the Mets. It would never happen with George Steinbrenner.
The trumpet, man.
But I think the situational baseball really, really did get the Yankees last night, man. Sitting there watching it, I'm saying to myself, my goodness. You have first and third, and you have a runner get picked off at first base with one out. Now, that was the second out.
Isaiah Conner-Falefa is usually a heads-up player. That's an unusual play
for him. That was insane. Then the bases are loaded, 3-0 count. when Walker had thrown seven balls in a row. He walked Judge previously. And
he got his pitch.
Rizzo,
he almost hit it out.
Yeah, I understand, Max, but almost doesn't count. But that you take the pitch there.
Let's say almost counts today. Let's just pretend. And look, the Yankees won the game.
I'm not going to tell you I'm happy for the Mets win, but when you think about the fact that the Yankees 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position, leaving 10 runners
on. But that's why, Jay, I said they missed a guy like Giancarlo Stanton last night.
Yeah.
They really, really missed a guy of his caliber, because in those situations, listen, you don't think the Mets would have been up Poop Creek without a paddle if Giancarlo Stanton is up the bat with the bases loaded or something like that? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not going to say that. I don't know.
Yes, you do know, Jay.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we raise to the level of the competition.
I didn't want the Mets to win last night because I wanted the Braves to.
So my boy Andy Goldberg is the CMO of the Mets, and we talk about this all the time. And I'm like, man, I really want this win because I have to go into the studio with Max tomorrow. He's like, I could care less about the Yankees. I care about the Braves. Yeah. Like the fact that we have to further advance our lead with the Braves because they're
keep believing he doesn't care
right
about
now.
The Yankees. Keep well, believing
he,
that
he
one.
He does. He does. But, you know, he's giving it to me real inside baseball, Max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you okay?
No. I don't like this. I don't like you.
You want a tissue?
I don't like the Mets. I don't like anything about today because of that game last night.
Today just started off right for me, especially when you're sitting here and you're trying to like, this guy's wearing a Mets jersey into work, and it's the number 10 on the back, and it says Williams and Harry Douglas. The guy has audacity. He's like, wait, you're wearing Trevor Williams jersey?
I'm about to go home right now.
And I'm like, no, dude. Like, 10 is my daughter. She was born on the
10th. Take me home right now.
I was born on the 10th, and Williams is my damn name. Because I threw out the first pitch.
First of all, Jay, you are now the most famous Mets fan. There aren't that many Mets fans. You're like
Nas.
Their big signature
we'll
athlete.
We'll take Nas. We're okay.
Nas is from Queens. It doesn't even count. If
how does it not count
borough,
if you're from Queens?
You're from
how
the borough.
How does it not count? That's where you're born
What are you supposed to do?
I will tell y'all this. When you look at the AL and you look at the wild card spots, the Toronto Blue Jays. If I'm the Yankees, I would not, and I understand that the Yankees have gotten the best of them so far this season. But since firing their head coach, Montoyo, since firing him, they are 9-1.
Here's the problem with the Yankees right now. This is my concern for the Yankees. And you can say this about any team, but the way starters are used nowadays and the way pitchers are used generally, they go so hard, they throw so intensely that injury is always a concern. And the Yankees have a very good starting staff, but it's not deep at the front of it, right? Mm. So what I mean is Nestor Cortez is a real pitcher, but he doesn't have the stuff of a frontline guy. He does it with guile, okay? A little lefty, right? And Jordan Montgomery's a big lefty, but also, and he has the stuff of a mid-rotation guy. Those are good starting pitchers. They're valuable commodities, but they're not 100-mile-an-hour throwing flame-throwing, fire-breathing killers,
I
right?
I feel like the Mets have Montgomery's number, though, and he was struggling.
He was struggling. Okay, so that's that's two guys. Tyon has stuff, but he's also not front-end. Mm-hmm. The Yankees have two guys who could lead any staff with their stuff. That is Gerrit Cole and Severino. Yep. And the issue is, and the real problem with the Yankees in recent years, the reason they haven't won the World Series since 09, is Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner have been reluctant to do what it takes to bring in a real ace at the top of the rotation when the moment was right. They weren't willing to give up enough prospects, enough cash, whatever it was. So Verlander went to the Astros, et cetera, et cetera. So here's the issue. Severino came back from surgery and he's going to be all the way back by the playoffs. He got hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
And his availability and ability to be a front-end guy will determine whether or not the Yankees win the World Series this year. If they have a bona fide ace-type pitcher to go next to Gerrit Cole, they got the two hammers at the top of the rotation. If they don't, they have one genuine ace and a bunch of guys who the night has to be right for them. That's my biggest concern with the Yankees. But that's a good problem to have. You have two top-flight guys, but one of them is not 100% right now.
Has kept you guys in so many games this season.
And they have a lot of injuries in the bullpen now, too. Yeah,
we'll get a chance.
Those Astros are coming.
And Chapman, I mean, I know he hasn't been playing
Verlander
well,
and Valdez.
Better last night. Ooh.
Know what the problem with Chapman is? When he got to the league with Cincinnati, no one ever threw 105 miles an hour. The dude was a standard deviation different than everyone else in terms of his stuff. Not only is he declining, He's still got stuff, but now he's in a league where everyone throws 100 miles an hour out of the bullpen. So his stuff ain't that special anymore. It's still really, really good. He's a good relief pitcher. But it's not different like it used to be. And on top of that, it's declined.
Yeah.
So like he's a good reliever. He's not an incredible reliever anymore.
Back to the real team. I just want to say for a second, as Scherzer and DeGrom coming into form, I mean, that you talk about
that's
scary.
Scherzer is a Hall of Famer, and DeGrom is, when he's healthy, the best starting pitcher in baseball.
I mean, then you have, I mean, Bassett has been decent too.
Yeah.
Bassett's been decent. We seen Walker last night. Man, the trumpet comes in and closes things out. But I'm not worried at all. You want to know why?
Because you're a diehard Braves fan.
Yeah.
I get it.
You want to know why I'm not worried at all? Because those Atlanta Braves are coming. You want to know?
Why are you using the Cat Williams voice?
Because I'm Atlanta Braves.
I was trying to think of what happened. The Yankees. The last time the Yankees and Mets played in the World Series together, they played in the World Series. I'm trying to remember.
Sorry, Max. Bring it back to what matters.
But wait a minute. And the Yankees Braves. Also played the Braves twice in the World. Just trying to remember what happened. Who won all those World Series?
Have you done?
Oh, that's right.
What have you done for me lately?
Not
J-Lo?
Enough.
That's
not since 2009. I mean, not enough.
That would be a good clapback for you right now. Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
They like to keep talking about 2009 and
I'm talking about 22. Yankees are going to win it all this year.
Because the last time I checked, the Braves are the defending World Series champions.
I hate both
defending.
Of you.
Defending.
So it's going to be a long day for you, Max.
Oh, God. This day is so bad.
Long day for you.
I hate it so much.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people always talk about, because I know yesterday we talked about a lot about Juan Soto, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to listen to Peter Rosenberg and Michael Kay and all those guys yesterday in the car. And they're having a really kind of passionate conversation about, oh, Juan Soto, he'll be a free agent 2025. And it's like saying, like, well, I forget was making a point about, like, there's so much stuff that's happening in the world. Right, like, I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, yet alone 2025. Like, aren't you in contention to win today, now? Like, why would you wait? If you have a chance to have a guy 23, 24 years old in his prime.
Because he doesn't guarantee you. Because you're in a position to win the World Series now. He doesn't guarantee you that you're going to win it this year. And you'd have to give up being in a position to win the World Series on an ongoing basis
But you're talking to me about prospects have a chance to be Juan Soto.
You're right.
Soto is Juan Soto.
Well, here's the other issue.
Stop wasting your time about all these guys that, oh, this guy have a chance of 5 years to be this. Like, you know what this is now.
Here's the other issue, okay? Juan Soto, you have to give up an enormous percentage of your payroll. Enormous. I know there's no salary cap, but there is a very difficult luxury tax and a repeaters tax. And teams are loathe, especially cheap Hal Steinbrenner. Hal Steinbrenner, you're so cheap as a Yankees owner, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. It's disgraceful.
Which, by the way, was a topic last night at
the Yankees
game
should always have by far the biggest payroll in baseball. You make the most money. You're in the biggest market. You have the greatest team. You have the most fans. There's zero excuse to not have the biggest payroll in baseball. I don't want to hear about your luxury tax problem. Joe Lacob pays it in San Francisco.
That's what LaGreco was saying yesterday.
Right. He's right. LaGreco's completely right. And he's a Mets fan, and he's completely right.
That's right.
Okay. Now, look.
That's right.
So here's the issue with Juan Soto. Not only do you have to pay him all that money, you have to give up all the prospects to get him. But here's the other thing. Everyone talks about what an incredible hitter he is. He's a great offensive player. But as I've mentioned, he doesn't play up the middle. He doesn't play catcher, shortstop, second base, center field. Those are the athletic positions. Yeah. And those players, they can evolve into the type, not saying as good as Soto, but that type of player. Patient, draw walks, hit for power. You're not going to run the bases as well. You're not going to play defense as well because you're an older player. Juan Soto has nothing to evolve into. He is what he will be. And here's the issue. The player he most reminds me of offensively, people talk about Ted Williams because he's left-handed and he draws a lot of walks, is Frank Thomas. The original next Ted Williams guy from the right side was the Big Hurt, Frank Thomas.
Big Hurt.
And Frank Thomas, he was the original Albert Pujols, also same kind of hitter, but Pujols a little more athletic. Frank Thomas he's the next Ted Williams. He's going to be the greatest hitter ever. Him and Ted Williams and Babe Ruth. And then the second half of his career, he was not the same. Albert Pujols, same thing. He's the next Ted Williams, but from the right side, second half of his career. And he's still good, but he's not the same. Soto reminds me of especially Frank Thomas as a hitter, but also Albert Pujols, but from the left side. I don't think 10 years from now, right? Now, I do think 3 or 4 years from now he's going to be really good. And so if the Yankees were to give up a lot to get him, I think he'd be a great addition. But the idea, the fact that Boris wants a 15-year deal and he wants the average, if you're paying this dude $50 million 12, 13 years from now, you probably regret it. So, you know, it's tough, Jay. It's not so cut and dried.
I understand. I get it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Of course, if they put him in the outfield with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, for all that stuff that you told me about, great. Good.
They'd be
sounds okay, but you still want that when it's all said and done.
High on base percentage. Batting average could be like he could be doing a hitting the ball a little more. I like guys who hit the ball. I mean, I like patient hitters.
Can I also tell you one last thing as a Mets fan? Just for me with Buck Showalter, like knowing growing up a Yankee, like playing 7 years in our farm system, like he is one of the best managers in baseball. I mean, meeting him, seeing his composure, seeing his relationship with all the players, seeing how he's able to push people the right way, it's just that the culture is so different with him. It's just it's a transition process that is really cool to see in real time.
He was the guy for the Yankees. In the Yankees hit a dry, like the worst period of my life as a fan was the late 80s because they went all in to try to win in 87 and 88. They didn't have the pitching. And then Steinbrenner got booted from baseball, so they weren't spending any money. 89, they were awful. 90, they were awful. 91, they were awful, just awful. Prime years of my high school life. Oh, it was terrible. Then they get Buck Showalter in there, right? And he was the manager in the minor leagues, and he saw Bernie Williams coming and Derek Jeter. You know, like all these guys were coming up that system. And he was the manager when in 95 they made the playoffs as the first year of a wild card after the strike-shortened season. It was shortened a little bit in 95 too, but after 94, he was the guy who managed that team when they made their first playoffs since 1981. And then they got rid of him and brought in Joe Torre. Kind of like, in a way, not in terms of the culture, but in a way, kind of the Mark Jackson of baseball, right? He's the guy you bring in to develop your whole team. And then when you think you're going to win, you bounce him and bring in the other guy, and the other guy gets all the credit. Buck Showalter has not been given the chance to show what he can really do if you leave him alone and let him manage the team long term. And maybe the Mets are about to find out.
I hope so.
I hope not.
But today's a great day.
I used to love Buck Showalter. Now a pox on your house, Buck Showalter. Hey, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 months. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. The 49ers are committed to Trey Lance as a starting quarterback, guys. Thank God we can get off that godforsaken topic of the Mets winning yesterday. Here is head coach Kyle Shanahan on moving on from Jimmy G.
Jimmy understands where we're at. We understand where we're at. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I have been of Jimmy and him being here and so appreciative of what he did for us last year. I think Jimmy and we knew what move we made the year before on that. Jimmy did a hell of a job coming to camp and winning that job and taking us real close to the Super Bowl. But we have moved on to Trey. We're starting camp out this way. We think Jimmy would have been traded if the surgery didn't happen. And it did. He needed to do it. So there's no ill will there at all.
So because of the surgery, he hasn't been moved. I understand that. People want to see what he looks like. You know, we talked about on this show, Harry, were you here for this when we were kind of like rattling off the quarterbacks, at least I was, that I think are different. And Dak Prescott is in that group. So is Kyler Murray. There are 13 quarterbacks who are, you got that guy, you got a guy, you're not looking anymore. I don't think Jimmy G is in that group, but I think he's at the top of the next group, right? I think he's my Madden rating for him would be a 87. He's like the first B plus.
You'd be 87?
As opposed to what?
I don't know. 83?
No, 83 is a B minus.
84?
So there's Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes.
I wouldn't mind giving
and Tom Brady.
Him a B minus. I wouldn't mind giving him
like, okay, who's a B plus?
I don't know, Max. I don't want to go through who's like, a B+. We're talking like about Jimmy G.
Okay,
he's a B- right there.
So you want to say a B? You want to give him a B? Who'd you rather have?
I think he's more B-.
Jimmy G or Tannehill? You want to call him an 86? Then he's a high B. Because Tannehill, Jimmy G, you don't have to worry about what Tannehill did in the playoffs. If they had Jimmy G, they'd probably go to the Super Bowl last year. The Niners had Jimmy G. That. They went to the NFC Championship game. They got past Aaron Rodgers.
You act like Jimmy G is the only reason why they're going to NFC Championship.
No. It has to be a run game. Has to be defense. Like, but Tennessee
Tannehill has that.
Yep. Has that.
Yep. Well, I hear you.
So I mean, and I was at the
Cincinnati
game.
If he's on the Colts, if he's on the Colts last year, what do the Colts do?
I still don't know if they get over the hump.
Yeah,
I still don't know if they get over the hump. But by the way, I was the one that said
because
on this
Carson Wentz didn't play bad last year
until it mattered most.
But in big moments, he didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, he
you act like Jimmy G comes through in big moments.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Jimmy G has messed up in big moments, but he's also come through in big moments. He's done both.
Let me just go here, right, real quick, Harry, before you give your breakdown. See, this is what Max is going to do. Mm-hmm. He's going to talk himself into elevating Jimmy G, that he's going to reason with himself, and next thing you know, he's going to say, hey, the Giants, we need to bring him in. And I don't want you to do that to yourself.
You see
don't
right through me, Jay Will.
Into Jimmy G being the answer for the Giants, because I don't think he is.
What do you have
great wise? What do you have Matt Ryan?
Okay.
See, Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan is ahead of Jimmy G.
Yes. And what do you have him?
Barely. I'd say Matt Ryan is an 87 if Jimmy G is an 86.
No, I would give Jimmy G a 84.
That's why I said 83, 84. You're giving out 88s, 87s.
Okay, maybe,
man.
Listen, there are 32 quarterbacks.
It's not that many people that's supposed to be on the A line anyway.
But what I'm saying is the 13 quarterbacks that I think of as you got a guy you're not looking anymore, you're good.
Yeah.
The bottom of that to me is Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Derek Carr. Okay? Mm-hmm. And if you include Matt Ryan in that list, then Matt Ryan will be the last guy. Or maybe he's just ahead of Jimmy G at the top of the next list.
Jimmy G over Dak?
No.
Okay.
So if you want to say that those guys are B pluses, or I guess out of 13, you could argue they're Bs. And so, oh, fine. Then Jimmy G is the first B minus. He's an 83.
Thank you, Max. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Fine.
I'm glad we workshopped to get there.
Fine.
I mean, technically.
I'm so sick of
technically,
you,
if you're middle
Jay.
Of the pack, you're supposed to be a C, but no, everyone knows C's not good.
So I gave you slightly above that. Give you a B minus.
But then the highest B minus.
The highest B minus.
Because there are three different B minuses.
How many levels are there?
83, 82, 81, 80. Those are all B minuses. Four B minuses.
You had to be one hell of a student.
Oh, I thought 83.
Your teacher.
No, 84 84? Is. No, no. 83, 82, 81, 80. Yeah. That's 84.
Oh, I thought 84 was a B minus.
You imagine
no, 84
Max
is a
home,
B.
Jeez. His teacher gave him a B minus. Like, Mom, look, I did it. I was the highest level of B minus there is.
Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something. Before computer, I used to intercept my report cards. I didn't want them looking at that report card.
Oh, we see it too. My boy Peter would do it. Yeah, he got the seal from the school, St. Joe's. Oh, I'll break it down. It was bad.
It was when I was a kid. If they went to parent teacher conference,
too much knowledge. Like,
Jay, your parents ever go to parent teacher conference?
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a bad night when they went to parent teacher conference.
Because they found out the truth.
Oh, it was so bad.
So I always had good grades, but I always had like U's in conduct in every class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
I guess because I mean, when you're smart and stuff, and you're done doing
work,
like you need other things to do.
That's Max's life.
Yo, always had good grades, but
in
always
the public
had, like,
schools
use.
Back in the day in New York, they used to have two columns. There was the academic side, it went up to excellent, and then there was the behavioral side, had satisfactory to unsatisfactory.
Yeah, I was a use.
And one teacher, this is when I really caught it. Still feel this one. My dad came home; he was not happy. Who gave me an unsatisfactory and self-control in red. The whole thing was in black. And this, she actually took out a red thing and put it in red.
You almost called her something else.
She had to resign in disgrace years later, but I'm happy about that. All right.
Jeez.
What does Kyler Murray's homework clause say about how the NFL views black quarterbacks? Coming up, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas in for Key, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The recently signed extension of Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray includes a rare clause that requires him to study film for 4 hours per week during the season.
Obviously, there's language stipulated in this contract that proves that this dude is not in love with the process to be great.
This is another sign that this is a bad contract. When somebody is some way and you give them money, it makes them more what they are.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
I can't stand the rain.
We have Jason Reed right now, ESPN senior NFL writer. By the way, guys, author of, and I quote, The Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. This is the right guy to talk to right now about this subject.
America or America with just the M?
America? No, I think America. It's what it means for America, Jay. Yeah,
two different Americas.
Yeah, anyways, that's right. Jason, how are you? Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, I'm doing well, Max. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. We're
doing great,
okay.
Jay. Good to have you on, brother.
Jay's doing better than me because the Mets beat the Yankees last night.
It's a good day, Jason. It's a good day.
What do you think Kyler Murray's homework clause, what does it say? Does it say anything about the way the NFL views black quarterbacks? I mean, is there this burden that every African American quarterback has to represent a group rather than just himself? Does it say anything about that in your view?
No, Max. I don't look at it in that matter. I don't look at this situation in that matter. You know, when I went to Arizona to talk to Kyler for the book more than a year ago now, you know, Kyler, look, he's a very good quarterback. There's no question about that. AP Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. That team has made progress under him. Now, we can talk about the things that have surrounded him, the questions about how much does he love it, the questions about body language and those types of things. And he's a work in progress. There's no doubt about that. But I can't try to draw a link between this clause, this homework clause, for lack of a better way to put it, and making a statement about all African-Americans at the quarterback position overall. I think this is specific to Kyler. And in talking to people throughout the league about this, like I think most of us have ever since this contract information came out, like, no one has ever seen anything like this. And from an enforceability standpoint, it's going to be very hard to do that. Now, let me say this. I have talked to head coaches and I've asked them, hey, how would you even know? And they said, well, remember, the thing is that the information is provided by the team. So you could ask them questions if you really wanted to push this and be like, okay, is he studying it? You could embed things in there to see if he's doing it, to check up on him. But no one wants this to get to that point. They guaranteed the guy $105 million at signing, $160 million for injury. He has the second biggest guarantee behind Deshaun Watson. And they do believe in him. And I talked to people in the organization. Look, he knows the playbook. The best case scenario around this, they want this to inspire him to do more. But clearly it's a situation that has brought a lot of pressure now on him and this organization anytime if something goes wrong.
Thank you, Jason, for saying that, because I felt the same thing, that this is more of a Kyler Murray thing than it is the NFL's view or stereotypes there that have been perpetuated over the years of black quarterbacks. I do want to transition that from Kyler Murray to Lamar Jackson, because how do you think this will affect the new deal of Lamar Jackson?
Well, here's the thing, Jay. Well, he's going to get paid more because, you know, you talk to agents about these situations. There is no comp in between Kyler, who's had a great beginning of his career, even with all the questions, he has done it on the field. He's a two-time Pro Bowler, AP Offensive Rookie of the Year. But there's no comp between him and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, the only other quarterback other than Tom Brady to be a unanimous winner of the AP MVP award. What Lamar Jackson has done in getting to the playoffs, to this point in his career. He does have it. You know, he has had great success in the playoffs, but he has a playoff victory. Kyler's guarantee for injury is 160. His guarantee at signing was 105. You have to pay Lamar Jackson considerably more.
More than Deshaun Watson, too, right? The more I think about it, talking to Jason Reed, ESPN senior NFL writer and author of Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. The more I think about it, Mike Tannenbaum is on my afternoon show on ESPN, This Just In, and he's been saying, like, hey, this is an easy negotiation if I'm Lamar Jackson's agent. I don't need a penny more than 230, but I won't take a penny less, guaranteed, because that's what Deshaun Watson got. But the more I think about it, Jason, he has no off-the-field issues like Deshaun. And he has done more, as you just mentioned, than Kyler, and no one's questioning his leadership or maturity. And he's also put up better numbers and won MVPs, everything you just mentioned. And those are the last two guys up. I think he needs 250, right? Like, he needs to reset the market, Lamar, now, doesn't he?
Well, typically that is what always happens. Whenever a franchise quarterback, a franchise caliber quarterback, a guy who's had success, a guy who's been to Pro Bowls, whenever they come up, they reset the market. Now, the knock against Lamar is that he is not as an accomplished of a passer as Deshaun Watson, and or really, for that matter, Kyler Murray, people will tell you. And Lamar gets dinged because he's not great in the drop-back game as some of these other guys. But here's what I would submit about Lamar. In week 5 last year, look, the Ravens had a ton of injuries, a lot of problems. They didn't make the playoffs. But in week 5 last year, Lamar showed the type of passer he can be in lighting up the Colts in a victory. And there are metrics that I could throw out here to show to you that Lamar has improved as a passer. But I'm not going to do that because really it's about the eye test and it's about W's. But, Max, I am with you in this. He has had no off-the-field issues. He has an MVP. He's an unfinished product. I don't know if the number's 250, but I do believe that with this negotiation, Baltimore's going to have to get this done now, and there's been some hard feelings, and I think they're going to have to show him, hey, here is the love based on what you've done and where we think you're going to go. Is it 250? I don't know, but it's got to be.
And to be fair, Jason, to be fair, he was having his best season, carrying a team that had nobody because of injury, and he's been remarkably durable, and yet he got, you know, listen, Brady lost a season injury, Rodgers, all the greats have been injured. This was his injury year, right? And so as he's showing, oh, wait a minute, I'm the best player on earth in at least 3 separate weeks, and winning, by the way, also passing the ball, the season was cut short by injury. Like, you know, I don't know. I think that the eyeball test says this past season, Lamar, and also he's a month younger than Joe Burrow, right? Like, I take guys over Lamar, but he's younger than all of them. What do you want readers to learn from your book, The Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America?
Max, I like people to come to this book with an open mind and be willing to learn the story of one of the most marginalized groups in the history of professional sports, black men who played the quarterback position or attempted to play the quarterback position in the NFL, and read it and gain an understanding of how they became one of the most powerful groups in the history of professional sports. Look at the money rankings, look at the MVPs, look at the performance of what these guys have done. This is a story 100 years, more than 100 years in the making because of where the NFL was and where it is now. And I'd like people to just have an open mind about the things the pioneers went through, that they endured, that they had to continue to struggle through to get these guys, help these guys stand on their shoulders and get to where they are now.
That is Jason Reed, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN senior NFL writer. Jason, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Appreciate the insight.
Thanks, Jay. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
So we have much more. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming up. Harry has been furiously taking notes, studying something. He's got some stuff prepared. He's going to...
No, Max, when I was about to ask my question, you butted in.
I look over at Harry, and he's down with his notes. I'm like, okay, might as well ask something.
When I was about to ask my question, you started talking, Max.
Well, that happens a lot on this show, apparently. This is what happens. Now I'm waiting for someone else to talk. See, this is what happens when I wait for other people to talk. Nothing. Much more coming up. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Yesterday was the premiere of a dope documentary that is out that everybody should check out. It's called NYC Point Gods, done by Kevin Durant and Rich Climate 35 Ventures. And Jason Tatum from the Boston Celtics, star of the Celtics, was there on hand. And he was asked about how he feels about Kevin Durant. Now, the interesting thing was, obviously, he said the right thing, guys, right? He's like, well, look, I love my teammates. But the timing of all this, the timing of Brad Stevens potentially trying to make a trade utilizing Jaylen Brown in the last couple of days, you know, it seems like the Nets wanted Marcus Smart, Robert Williams, Jaylen Brown, and a draft pick, which the Celtics weren't willing to give up. And now Jason Tatum is seen at the premiere of Kevin Durant's executive producing role in NYC Point Guards. The timing of all of it is just, it's crazy. It does lead me to think, though, if Jason Tatum and KD were paired, like, would that be the best duo in the NBA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to stop
Kawhi,
that.
Paul George. I mean, they're there.
But they have to be healthy.
They have to be healthy.
And
so offensively, defensively, Kawhi, Paul George got it clearly.
Got it.
Offensively, KD and Tatum got it clearly.
Defensively, they wouldn't be that far off either. I know. Even if you're saying KD made a step back, with what you've seen, the improvement
of Jason
from
Tatum.
Jason Tatum defensively.
Correct.
And what you've seen him do recently in the playoffs.
No, I would say the difference between their defense and offense would be the same. Like KD and Tatum would be as much better offensively than Kawhi and Paul George as the other guys would be better defensively than them.
A healthy Bron, a healthy AD, you can throw them in the mix. But they have to. There's ifs. If they're healthy.
I mean, our boy Alan Yates jumped in my ear and said he might still like Paul George over Tatum. And here's what I will say about this, because we haven't talked about Paul George, which we will a lot this upcoming year, because I'm going to put that pressure on the Clippers. Because they're my favorite to come out of the West.
They have the best roster.
I've said that with
Golden
State.
Ty Lue is getting it done without his stars, right? Man. Ty Lue is no joke.
Paul George is one of the realest players in the league that nobody talks about.
But he has come up too small too often in the playoffs.
And that's the frame of reference that people will go back to in the bubble. I'm just trying to tell y'all, skill-wise on the court,
and
a lot of people can do it the way Paul George
can do it. No, he's a two-way stud, and he's long.
He's different, man.
Yeah.
Man,
he can shoot. He can do a lot of stuff.
That Dame Dollar hit that shot in your face. In the game, and
yeah, little moments.
Once again,
it's Dame time. Everyone,
once again,
you know?
Moments, not the complete body of work.
I
hear what you're saying. I'm saying on the court, ain't too many people touching Paul George.
We're
man.
Back in 10 seconds.
I'm following the money on this one. They guaranteed Sam Darnold $18.8 million. He's going to be the starting quarterback.
The pieces are in place in Carolina. If they play to their capability, this team gets in the playoffs.
Baker Mayfield is your best bet in Carolina.
If I'm betting on myself, then I completely double down.
And if he does start on opening day, Carolina versus Cleveland, Baker will certainly have a lot to play for on opening day.
Rock the Bells.
So before LL was licking his lips all the time.
This song hit one of the hardest songs ever to drop. Like certain songs dropped and was like, oh my God, like an earthquake. This is before your time.
Why did Jay just lick his lips like he was LL Cool J? Jay, what are you doing?
Shower, like I,
Whoa. Hey.
Why don't you let me finish?
Hey, Max, I don't know what this
you
is.
You
didn't
even say pause. You just say, whoa. You have those moments in the shower where you be singing the lyrics of songs. You be like, damn, I sound just like him, yo. I can do this. I sound just like him.
Bathroom. Don't even have to be in the shower.
Every time I go into the bathroom, I'm singing a different song like that. I sound just
Jay,
like,
I could be on the toilet. I'm singing.
I sound just like 112. I sound just like my...
Obvious, and there's some people that's obvious about. LL was a star. Forget about just as a rapper. The reason he's still around 37 years later, 38 years later, is because the dude was a star, and a guy of that much intrinsic stardom ain't going anywhere. Ice Cube, a star. LL, a star. Those guys happened to be rappers, but really what they were stars.
Well, it also helps when the ladies love you. Like, it helps a lot, Max. That helps. That plays a big part in it, too.
Ladies, when I'm alone in my room.
Yeah.
I need love.
Marcellus and I once had a big debate about that, and he claimed that song, I think it was that one, was like one of the most influential songs ever because it transitioned rap into like a whole new, like you could sell emotional. It differently. Yeah.
I laid on my jacket so you can walk over a puddle.
I need love.
I need love.
I need it now.
And then Drake took it to another level.
Marvin I would say Drake would be the first person to actually express how men feel, but men were scared to express how they feel.
Facts.
Drake is the first one to do that.
Yeah. Talking about exes, Max, you're looking.
Drake changed
the look
things,
on
man.
Your face. Max just looked like a disappointed dad.
I know.
He's like, did you guys just transition from LL to Drake?
You skipped a whole lot of people. Skipped the whole, like, there are people between LL and Drake.
Agreed.
Who are talking about
that's
some
stuff.
It's
a whole other segment, man. It's a whole other segment.
I mean, Rakim, I seen her on the subway on the way to Brooklyn. I know it's a different thing, but still.
But we're talking about a different side.
Feel, though.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean?
Internal. You're talking about internally what's going on with you. By the way, they talk about, like, great writers and novelists, the same thing. It's not just about what happens next, it's about what's happening inside the character and stuff like that.
Like the song by Drake, Trust Issues. A lot of men have trust issues. Drake sung about that.
I have them.
Trust issues,
for sure.
Man.
For sure.
Well, you guys are very
sensitive.
That Care Package album?
Boy, every song. You don't even know what I'm talking about, Max. Care Package. Max, like, what? I'm just telling you, play that album.
By the way, it's like
every song.
It's like some of those Nicolas Cage movies you talk about. Certain things I'm not going
to. I get lonely too.
They're not marketing it to me.
Every song in Care Package, I'm telling you.
Max is like, I get lonely too. What the hell is I get lonely too?
I don't think Max is getting to his bag of emotions as much though.
Nah, we're gonna have to get it because
I mean Yates, Tragedy, Gaddafi, Blood Type. That's talking to me. You know, I don't know about it.
I send them too. But like whenever Drake dropped new music, it feel like it's happening in my life. So I send those songs that resonate with me, a couple lines, I send them to all my exes and they have to read the messages.
See, and I got two for you. I got one that I know Key will rock with. 4 p.m. in Calabasas.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Key all day long. And then another one for you, which me and Harry are trying to put Max onto back in the days during our single days. 5 a.m. in Toronto, though.
Max don't know about T-Dot. Max, you thought you was the man.
Best cities there is.
You thought you was the man, Max.
Listen.
You thought you was the man, Max. One thing I'll say
about Drake, since we're on the topic, is there are only a handful of rappers who make the words do exactly what they want them to do. Like people talk about Kanye as a rapper, overrated as a rapper. Kanye will allow he gets open, meaning he'll allow the availability of a rhyme to actually influence what he's saying. It's obvious. And he also kind of very obviously sets up rhymes, right? Drake, Jay could do it. Lil Wayne could do it. Eminem could do it. They make the words say it, precisely what they want them to say.
Andre 3K.
Yo, but
to me, he's more of into like a Kendrick Lamar. Like it's a different style.
I just want you to do a disservice to Drake for a second, because I agree with you on could do it, but Drake took like being in the shower when you say like man, you start singing like, man, that voice sounds whack. Drake was like, no, that's the hook. That's right. Dope. Like,
yeah, it's a whole
turning that into lyrics. Yeah. Like,
I remember Courtney on Hooters on Peachtree.
I'm just
singing about Courtney that he was in love with on Peachtree down in Atlanta. Come
in the
on,
racial
man.
Racial draft, so the Jews ignored. Select Drake. I'm pretty sure he had a bar mitzvah. I'm pretty sure Drake had a bar mitzvah. 1,000%. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
It's okay. You can be all things, baby.
That's right.
We ain't monolithic. We're all things.
Thanks.
That's right. And so it makes us the human race.
When you say we, you mean the Jews, right?
Hello.
Oh, are you talking? Jerry Jones says, Jerry Jones, guys, says he has faith in Mike McCarthy to lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl. What else is he supposed to say? You know what I wanted people to ask, and no one asked this question specifically? I want to know, because this is reasonable. It's not an unreasonable question to ask. Not is it Super Bowl or he loses his job. Only one coach can win the Super Bowl in any given year, right? Not like, does he need to make the playoffs? Man, you're in the NFC East. You got to, come on, stop. And not only does a different team win that division every year, but you should make the playoffs in the NFC East. It's a weak division, even though the Eagles are getting better. And now the Giants probably overtime. But I want to know this. Hey, Jerry Jones, does Mike McCarthy need to win a playoff game to keep his job? Not they make the playoffs, not win the Super Bowl. That's extremes. I mean, does he need to win a single play? If he does not win a playoff game, will he be the Cowboys coach next year? That is a legitimate question. Do you believe that Jerry Jones, are you buying that Jerry Jones really has faith in Mike McCarthy? Wasn't Mike McCarthy just the best coach he could push around, or the coach with the biggest name who he knew wouldn't stand up to him? He needed a job. He got fired. He was with the real America's team, the Green Bay Packers, with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, lost that job, and got hired by the fake America's team, the Dallas Cowboys.
I feel like you were asking us the question, but then you answered the question.
This is actually, I started the tease a minute early, so I'm vamping.
Ah, okay, stretching. Got it. I was a little bit confused. I didn't look at Harry.
Is the Dallas Cowboys head coach, is that the toughest coaching job in all of sports? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
There it is.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.